Business Week Interview with Charlie Crist, May 17th, 1995.
Well, I'm so familiar with that running in Italy with the permeating scent and result of diesel fumes.
Thanks very much for... I love your tie, by the way.
I was looking at ties the other day,
which I haven't done in a while, because I just, you know, I don't really like to do it, but suddenly realized that they've come a long way from my last purchasing.
Have to keep up sometimes.
Actually, you've got some good location as you spill eggs on that. You've got some yellow.
Some of those ties that probably won't show.
Doesn't make any difference. That's the key.
Doesn't make any difference.
They never want the power ties, the yellow ones, or the little polka dot ones. The Wall Street guys used to wear them.
They don't wear those so much anymore.
No. Power's going out. The money hasn't, but the power has. Well, thanks very much for taking it. Few minutes out to meet with me. It's sort of a partly an educational effort for me to go around and learn a bit more about digital and how far you've come and where you're going. And as Jeff and Gloria probably explained to you, I'm relatively new to the high-tech coverage, so hopefully I won't sound too ignorant, especially when you start talking about hubs and routers.
Not to worry.
I have some vague idea what they are, but somewhere in the middle there. Anyway, let me get my tape recorder going. Charlie Crist. Perhaps you can just lay out briefly what your area of the company does and what all the sort of changes have been going on in terms of cross-cutting products, that sort of thing. And I don't want a long thing. I just want to make sure that I'm not missing any key points.
Well, the components division is made up of three groups: storage group, storage subsystems, the networks products and components and peripherals. And the components and peripherals includes terminals, hard copy printing, a whole series of other products, keyboards. And it did have a contract manufacturing wing, but we have just completed the sale of that. And if you go back a few years, when I first joined Digital, I joined as in the storage group. And at that point in time, the group was in a fair amount of disarray in terms of our cost structure, you know, bringing products to market, the competitiveness of the products, the quality, reliability, all kinds of problems. And fundamentally, we turned that business around from one where it was losing several hundred million dollars to where it was profitable. And in the process of doing that, it created a whole new architecture and packaging concept for storage subsystems called StorageWorks, which has been very successful. But even as we had turned the business around and were growing it dramatically, as we had moved into the OEM market with our disk drives, it started to become fairly clear to us that disk drives weren't fundamental as a core competency to a corporation in the client-serving network computing business. And we looked at the opportunities there versus the opportunities elsewhere and looked at the nature of a business that was cyclical, relatively low margins, high capital requirements in terms of the processing piece, the dumpheads portion of the business. And frankly concluded that it really didn't fit our long-term strategy, and so we ended up negotiating the sale of that disk drive business to Quantum, and we completed that last October. And that left us to focus in the storage area on subsystems. And our original strategy had been to come up with a whole new clean sheet concept for storage systems, which is the StorageWorks product line. And initially, we focused on a digital platform, if you will, but subsequently the plan and the strategy was to do two things. One, move off the platform and move into the indirect channels. And so subsequently, we've announced products for Sun, HP, IBM, Novell, all built around the same basic product architecture. and have started to move aggressively to move volume, especially off the base, off the platform, through the indirect channel. So a lot of Sun and IBM products are moving them in OHP. And also we started some aggressive OEM business in the storage area. So that business has gone through a very significant transformation in terms of the technology, what the content of it is, the architecture of the products, and our focus, which is significantly off the digital platform. Networking products business unit was just formed about 10 months ago. Prior to the beginning of this fiscal year, it didn't exist as a business unit. It was embedded in various engineering groups and was focused primarily on satisfying the digital requirements, the digital customer requirements, if you will. And as such, we were not focused at the market at large. And so you can see there's been some phenomenal growth in terms of people like, you know, Cisco and Cabletron and Synoptics and Chipcom and 3Com and others. But we really weren't spending much time even thinking about that market. And as we got prepared to move into this fiscal year, we felt very strongly that we had a great opportunity in that marketplace based on one that we've been in networking, I think, longer than anybody else. I mean, people would generally concede that we have been a leader in the networking area for years. Our focus, though, wasn't on the outside open market, if you will. It was on the digital market, the digital platform market. So we said, you know, given that we have a great history of, I think, know-how in networking and technology, that in fact we ought to be able to become very successful out in the marketplace with the likes of Cisco and Cabletron and others. So we had base fundamentals that we could leverage into that market opportunity. The second thing that we saw was that there was a fundamental change undergoing in the networking market, where a lot of the current players began as vertical sector players. You were a hub company or a router company or an adapter company or a switch company, but there was very little integration of those functions, and people made their name and their fame focusing on those vertical segments. But what's happening is there's a move underway which we call sort of convergence, where a lot of the functionality that has traditionally been in the various independent pieces is moving towards the switch. So the switch is becoming capable of providing routing and hub functions. And so we saw that as a window of opportunity for us to move into a market where we had not been, because the market itself was undergoing somewhat of a sea change, and we could take advantage of that. And so we could leverage our technical and historical strength in networking and take advantage of what we saw as a window of opportunity emerging. And I think that's proven out in the sense that we've just launched our Envision strategy and architecture, if you will, April 24th, and it's been extremely well received. And because we've kind of laid it out in a way that allows you to migrate gracefully from whatever you have today, whatever vendor you've been with, we can comprehend that in terms of our strategy and move forward with a digital portfolio of products that leads you to virtual switch networks, which we think is where the real endpoint is for a lot of the activity that's coming on today. And we brought some very unique perspectives to that. And it's been extremely well received. We've taken that message around the world early in the last month, and have had extremely strong reaction and acceptance of the strategy. So I think that's a good example of digital's, you know, being able to leverage digital's traditional strengths and leadership, technology, and know-how, but with a whole new view on where the market opportunities are. Instead of being inward-looking, we're much more outward-looking now. We're looking for opportunities where we can take what we've historically been good at and really bring it to the market in a way that gives us an edge out there. Mm-hmm. And that's been very well received. And the same, you know, if you look at the components and peripherals group, we have a bunch of the same kinds of things going on there. While we've been doing this, we have been, as I said, pruning the portfolio in the sense of selling the disk drives, because we concluded they weren't fundamental to the strategic core competencies. Selling contract manufacturing for the same reason. It's a business, but it's not fundamental to what, you know, I believe we should be focusing on in terms of what we can deliver to the corporation. And when people sometimes look at the components division from a vertical perspective, they say, well, we can't quite understand why it makes sense to have what you have, because you got storage and you got networks and you got printers and terminals. But if you look at horizontally, as I do with my people, what's common is leadership products, focused on the open heterogeneous clients that we're competing market. So if you look at our printers, if you look at Maltia, if you look at our storage works, if you look at our networking, the thread in terms of the product strategy and market strategy that runs through all of them is this idea of bringing leadership products to market for the open network heterogeneous client server computing market. And everything that we've been bringing out and are bringing out fits that model, if you will, of what we're going to bring to the marketplace.
So in other words, what you're saying is it makes sense to have various peripherals
right.
that also support that market.
Exactly. And we believe where we can see a clear product differentiation. I mean, I like to have products with an edge, I call it, because technology tends to level the playing field. But you can still, I think, bring an edge to the market that gives you a chance to make a little more margin, and especially when you're going through indirect channels, it allows your partners to keep a little more margin. You have just a plain vanilla commodity product, it's tough to make much money out in those channels. But if you have a product that competes at the right price points, but it does still bring an edge, then I think you can be much more successful and your partners can be much more successful. And so in terms of our networking strategy, for instance, the vision architecture really lets Avar focus on one company's product set and with a customer deal with the issue of investor protection. You don't have to do a forklift upgrade with our strategy. It doesn't require ripping everything out and putting everything in that comes from us. I guess we wouldn't mind that if you did that, but we don't force that issue upon you. We can comprehend whatever you've got today and build this migration path going forward. And we did something else that was unique in terms of credibility. We laid out the product plan for the next 21 months. So we said, by quarter, here's what we're going to announce, and here's how it fits into the overall architecture that we're bringing to the market. And people were very pleased to see that we have that kind of confidence and are going to put that on the table right up front.
So when the components are peripheral, you've got a whole lot of printers.
Printers and terminals and keyboards and lots of series of things.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an edge in all these areas?
Or? Not all of them. Some of them are pure commodities, and some of them we probably may migrate away from. But when you look at things like Maltia, which allows you to access, in the context of NT, a Unix database or a legacy database, instead of the super client, that's what our new product focus is. If you look at printing, HP is leadership position in the printer market. So our issue is, well, what can we do? What kind of capability do we have that can perhaps provide us with an edge in a market that's dominated by one company and is a very competitive market? And what we really bring is in the software and controller capability that we have in terms of design. And we have some color products, for instance, in the printers that will operate at speeds the same as black and white printing, but with an order of magnitude better quality in the color copy. That's the kind of thing that we can bring to the market.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at what was there versus what is coming out, you see the transition, the transformation from a pure commodity point of view to a product with an edge. And that's really what's behind everything that we're trying to do here. It's our rallying cry, I guess. And we just had a big meeting with our 16 largest distributors in the U.S. last week. And that message resonated very strongly with them in terms of the kind of thing they're looking for.
So how does this just set this formula in terms of the overall corporate strategy? Where does this fit in? How important is this? Obviously networking is important, but components of peripheral storage, how does this, it's sort of is it really that because you run these businesses, because you sort of, one company, one solution, lots of products sort of thing before, or is it, these things have real strategic purpose in the new strategy as well?
I think they have strategic purpose. I think if you look at where we are today, the computer business used to be focused on computers. And I think the focus on computers per se is decreasing as they become more alike. If you look at what's supposed to be in the market today, I would say that the Alpha with the 64-bit gives us a product with an edge again in that context. But in terms of the servers and the bulk server market and the desktop market, people have been focusing on it. I think that's going to change, and to really make it to polarize what people's thinking, but I've started to call all those things appliances, because that's almost what they're becoming. And that the real value added is not now not in the appliances, but in things like the network connectivity, and things related to the network and connectivity. And if you look at all of the applications that we're moving towards in terms of the marketplace, whether it's video or interactive services or multimedia or very high quality graphics, they are all storage intensive. And so if you're looking at the ability to craft very capable or very large systems, like we brought out the video server to the corporation inside the storage group originally. And again, the focus was, as we looked at the opportunities there, were took about 120-minute film digitized and compressed, took 2 gigabytes to store. And you think about thousands of titles in storage and a couple of gigabytes apiece, and you're talking terabytes of storage, plus high-performance storage. And so we took, the StorageWorks capability and the GigaSwitch and the Alpha-based processor and some networking capability and put together a video server that has captured over half the market so far in terms of trials around the world. But what we did is leverage all of those leadership capabilities into a whole new product line and a whole new market opportunity. And they all really fit together. And because we had those, we could do the systems engineering that few people can do. When we first started talking to the R-Box about some of these systems, their view was, we're going to buy the piece parts and we'll put it together so you can quote out the piece part you want. Less than a year later, they came back to us and said, this is a hell of a lot harder than we thought it was. This is not telephony, this is computing. Plug and play has a whole different connotation in computing than it does in telephony, where you've had 50 years of standards. And things really do plug and play. And so there's a lot more system engineering required in these very complex, high-speed, high-bandwidth, high-performance applications. And so I think one of our strengths is we also bring that system engineering capability that few companies can. I think putting the California elections on the internet, I mean, very few people could even do that. And we hardly broke into a sweat pulling that off. So I mean, we're very good at some things, and this is not bragging, but I think just a recognition that we are very good at some things. And those are the things that I think are forming the new core competencies of the new digital as we go forward. And I think it's appropriate because the market is changing. Mm-hmm. I think computing per se is becoming much more of a commodity. Except in applications where we bring the edge again, like the 8400 working with Oracle, it's very large memory, and end up with a mainframe killer for certain kinds of applications. But again, that's the kind of thing digital has historically done well. I can remember I was in Comdex this past fall, and probably for the year before that, every time I went and talked to the press or the analysts or a customer, I spent half of my time with them defending the corporation and why we weren't going to go away tomorrow and why we were a good bet. And I can remember I was on the floor at Comdex, and a customer came up to me, and we were talking, and he said, "Boy, it's really good to see you guys back." And I said, "Well, we've been working hard, and we're in the turnaround. Cautiously optimistic. It's not a done deal yet." No, you guys are okay. And I said, "Well, how can you be so confident?" It's pleasing to hear that, but what makes you so confident that we're okay? He says, "That's easy." He said, "You guys used to always have the hot product in the hot market segments all the time in the past." And he said, "You lost it for a few years." But he says, "I've been around the floor here at Comdex, and I saw Multi, and I saw the high note Ultra, and I saw NT clustering demo, and I saw StorageWorks, and I saw some of the new networking products." He says, "You guys are back." So he says, "Don't worry about it. Enjoy the show." "You're okay."
Well, end of the interview.
Well, that's easy. Good story. Was there some defining moment when you thought you would turn the corner personally? Or the company turned the corner?
I think you can always identify defining moments in retrospect.
Right.
At the time, I don't think you ever see it clearly as a defining moment, because it's a very large, very complex organization with a lot of things happening concurrently. And you can see bright spots occurring in various pieces, but it's like, when does that point of critical mass, when everything kind of clicks and there you're there? I think that's easily, more easily seen in retrospect than in hindsight and at the time. And it's because we are, all focused on really trying to do our part of this team effort to turn this place around. And we're pretty focused on making that happen. And I don't think so. I think we have seen, you know, it's like a dawn, if you will, you know, coming to that slow, gradual brightening, and then when the sun comes up, it really hits you. I think we're in that period, clearly. We see that. And we can point to some real success stories, like the 8400 and like solar networking products, and our reemergence finally into the PC space with a very good product line and a very aggressive position. You see a lot of good things happening, but none of us, at least I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we're done yet and it's all, and we're home free. I'm not going to feel good until we are really, really, you know, it's obvious to the women in the supermarket, then I'll feel okay.
Could you just describe some of the things that you think you've done to really, you know, turn the your part of the business around, and, you know, what are the sort of key?
I think some of the key things is that there is, I think, a defining moment. In the sense of when we really started to conclude that the old matrix structure was a major part of our problem in terms of becoming more, you know, market-driven and customer-focused, responsive to what was happening. The storage business unit was the first independent business unit, you know, with a full P&L kind of a focus. And then PCs, and it was working because we could really measure ourselves against the competition. We could really look at the revenue, the profits, the investment in engineering, investment in marketing, and really understand the trade-offs that had to be made and really focus our thinking on what the product strategy and market strategy had to be. PCs followed that model, and then it started to be replicated elsewhere in the corporation. And I think that really allowed us to start to pull apart this large, very intertwined matrix structure and get a grip on the problem. And the opportunities. We were able at that point to start developing clear lines of sight, if you will, from where we were to where we had to go, and to get a fix on the size of the challenge in that transition. If there was one thing that I think really made a difference, it was when we did finally, you know, kind of break with the past and move to a new business structure that really provided some clarity around what we were doing.
What was the lack of clarity before?
Because you didn't have that focused accountability and responsibility, you ended up with a lot of endless discussion about what ought to be done, but it wasn't clear in a lot of people's mind. There was not a lot of agreement in a lot of people's mind. And I think, you know, digital had gone through a period where what I think are some very important core values were, that's a harsh word, bastardized. Because digital started out in the beginning where people working together was very important. The stakeholders being involved was very key. Arriving at a consensus was goodness. But what happened over time was, instead of having just the key stakeholders in the decision involved in trying to reach consensus, it got people who only had a passing or tangential role in the process. Then it got to be whoever happened to have an interest in it. And so we went from a good thing to a point where we had to have consensus, or you couldn't make no decision, and then it got to the point where if you didn't have unanimity, you couldn't have a decision, or you could appeal a decision if there wasn't unanimity. And in my own group, one of the things that we did very quickly was say that if we are going to have participation, if we can reach consensus, that is goodness. If we can't reach consensus in a reasonable amount of time, I'm just going to make the decision, folks, and I'll explain to you exactly why I decided what we're going to do. But once we're through that, I expect 125% commitment to making it happen. That sort of broke the log jams around the decision-making process and the speed of the decision-making process, and had a huge impact on our being.
But that's because you were able to, you had a P&L
right
group,
you could really
as
focus.
Opposed to trying to convince manufacturing, engineering,
that's right,
and sales that this was the right way to go.
It was pretty clear if you had, this was your revenue commitment, your profit commitment. And what we also did is really did a lot of benchmarking work in storage originally to really understand where our competition was. And so we really developed templates of all of our key competitors, and then started to lay our business plan against the templates of our key competitors in terms of how much they were spending in R&D, how much on SG&A, what the revenues were, what the profit margins were, what the gross margins were. So you understood what it was going to take. I mean, if you can't get at least as good as the people who are the leadership in your business, that became sort of the template. We had to get at least as good as our key competitors, or we just couldn't see a future in the business.
Were you at that point, at the original point, as good as your key competitors?
No, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. We were way off the mark.
In terms of cost?
Everything. Cost, quality, time to market, delivery, technology application, which is interesting because we had great technology, but the process was so convoluted and complex that we couldn't get it to market in a timely fashion, and it would cost too much when it got there, and the quality and reliability weren't there. The one thing that, when I first came to the company, I got a call from Ken Olson, who said that John Akers had just called him, and one of them was suggesting that maybe we ought to get out of the storage business and buy all our product from IBM. And Ken asked me, well, what do you think? I said, well, I think we've got to look at it. And I spent a lot of time traveling all over the world, probably 60 days, and I would really crash, visit everybody's suppliers, customers, competitors, talk to people who had a handle on the technology trends, the market trends, and came back, and we didn't match that anywhere. Our plan of record was a total mismatch with what was happening in the real world because it was so inwardly focused. But fundamentally, we had great technology that could be leveraged. That was the saving grace, in my judgment at the time, was we had the technology to make it happen. We just had to totally change the business model and the way we did things, recognizing the real world had changed dramatically from the days of a proprietariness where customers had no choice but to buy from you, to an open world built around standards where they had ultimate choice and were exercising it. And that was the world we had to acknowledge existed, and that's the way the world was moving, and that to be successful or even to survive, you had to understand that and move in that direction. And that goes with some of the fundamental key decisions that we made to change the nature of what we were doing.
Mm-hmm. So, I always like to get people to hang my hat on some specifics because I go around to all, any company you go to, it's always the last management screwed up. Now we got the answer.
Right.
We're doing it right. is there anything specific? I mean, even this fairly mundane example about, the cost of X storage product versus now, or, time to market, or this new Envision thing, how long it took you to put it together, or something that we can, point to as a
sure
difference.
I have the most data in the sense of the storage business. In fact, even though we don't have the disk drives, at the time we took a look at whether to stay in the business, it was taking us 3 to 5 years to bring a product to market.
Disk drives?
When we sold the business, it was taking 6 to 18 months to bring a product to market. The cost per megabyte had dropped by an order of magnitude. We were at the leading edge of the high-performance, high-capacity drives being brought into the industry. We had grown the business from zero to about $600 million in a little over 2 years. We had signed major OEM contracts with Compaq and Dell and Silicon Graphics and AT&T and a series of people. But we had, from a standing start, become, at that time the analysts were saying they put us in the top three in the industry. Those were all proof points. In networking, we've been sort of the unseen major competitor. If you look at where we are, and keep in mind that it's only existed now for about 9 or 10 months. We've just launched a major Envision architecture and product strategy, market strategy. But we are number two or number three in hubs, routers, and switches in the U.S. and Europe. We're number three in LAN switching revenue worldwide, number two in European switching hub market, both revenue and port shipments, number two in Ethernet switching market, units shipped, number two in FDDI intelligent hub ports worldwide, number three in router worldwide, both revenue and units, number two in router shipments Western Europe, number three in both high-end and low-end routers, revenue and shipments worldwide. If you ask the man in the street, is digital in networks, probably say no. But we are, and we have a tremendous position to leverage, and it's my goal to be number one in this business. I think we have absolutely the opportunity to do so. Multi has been hailed as the ultimate client, the product that finally deals with the issue of mixed heterogeneous environments. And I think we're bringing things to market that are at the leading edge of where this industry is moving. And to a lot of people, that's the proof point that digital is back, because that's how they used to see us. That's where we always were.
Which is?
The leading edge of the emerging hot market segments, whatever it was. And I think, you know, today we have, you know, a real strong position in price performance in, you know, workstations. 82, 8400, I think, are examples of that. I think even in things that people don't normally associate with a high-tech firm like services, I think some of the things that John Rando is doing, I know you talked to John, are really leadership in terms of kind of thinking about the market and how to bring that kind of service capability to market and demand from other people having it, you know, really thought about. So when I look around, you know, I think we have really made enormous progress to go from nowhere in the PC business after a couple of false starts. Software. I mean, people, I think, have legitimately criticized us for not being very articulate about what our software strategy is, but we have now started to roll that out. We put it, I think, publicly into Beacons this past week. And how does OpenVMS and NT and Unix fit, and how does it evolve over time, and what are we doing to provide the hooks and APIs so that you can migrate your applications between those three choices? And we kind of gave our 35 of our largest storage customers in Europe. We had a storage conference in France two weeks ago, and we brought over those Wes Melling and Don Harbert to give a sort of sneak preview of the software strategy. These were people like Glaxo, Credit Suisse, and Rothschild. These are our biggest customers in Europe, and had an extremely positive reaction. This is what they've been waiting for us to come forward with, because it was clear what the strategy was. And we now have that strategy, and it's been well thought out, and I think we're now in the process of articulating it for the first time as well.
Mm-hmm. Sounds almost like you were sort of shackling yourselves internally.
Yes. I think we have become, and I don't think this is, we're the only company that it ever happened to. I think it's pretty typical if you look at the history of companies that it's difficult to challenge the very things that made you successful. Mm-hmm. And there's a great reluctance to let go of those things that you think are the reason you are what you are. And, you know, there was a major change from the days when, let's say, early to mid-80s, where you had IBM and digital. And we were doing extremely well. And then the technology started to change. And you had the desktop revolution. People started to look at the PCs, computing breaking down from the mainframe focus into this distributed focus and then to a client-server focus. It was really the deconstruction of everything the mainframe guys had built up for a decade. And it was almost clearly a revolution, is not too strong a word to use. And driven by the technology and by the changes in the market. And things like Unix and the PC weren't embraced by digital, I think, because they were contrary to the very strong view of the world that we had, which was the reason we were so successful at the time we had it. So the hardest thing to do is at the peak of your success to question your success. And yet I think it's essential and fundamental to a continuing success. And we didn't do it well, and I don't think I've seen many people demonstrate the ability to do it well, because it flies in the face of everything you're thinking of. Because you're fundamentally saying, we have really gotten to a really high point, everything is going well, it's time probably that we should look at changing everything we're doing, if these kinds of events are occurring around you. Very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the days when, at that point, PCs weren't as established as they are now. And it was a really good question as to whether they ever will be. Unix was not nearly as capable as it is now. And so if you looked at what we had with VMS, and I think it's still acknowledged by the industry as the most robust operating system in the world. Absolutely. And I've never had anybody disagree with me on that. And to think that people will give that up in favor of Unix is a very tough conclusion to come to at points like that in time. But today I think my view is we've got the best Unix in the market, and that's been, I think, acknowledged now by a lot of the analysts that we do have the best Unix in the market. And we think it is going to play a major role for a period of time. And we have probably, I think, a competitive edge in terms of our relationship with Microsoft around the NT. There's nobody working closer than us, you know, with Microsoft in terms of the whole NT thrust. And I think that bodes well for us as you go forward. You know, HP made some gutsy calls a few years ago to go to Unix and RISC, and when the market really started to shift in that direction, they were in the right place at the right time, and they're a great company. I see us being positioned equally as well for the NT revolution when it comes, in terms of what we're doing, where we are, and how we go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we are being positioned, we are positioning ourselves extremely well vis-a-vis NT. And we had really toughed out the transition from 32-bit to 64-bit with Alpha. We struggled with that for the last couple of years. I think we brought it to market so much in ahead of everybody else that it turned out to be a very difficult one. You're the only one out there. But everybody's going to face into that. And we have now worked through that period when a lot of applications are being ported to 64-bit. So we are going to be positioned well with that. We're now starting to see applications where you can really leverage the 64-bit capability, like the 8400 and some of the transaction kinds of applications, credit cards and whatever, telephone bills. There's things that clearly you need that, or you can leverage the 64-bit capability to dramatically improve your performance. I'm starting to see the early edge, if you will, of that 64-bit wave starting to show up on the beach, and nobody is positioned as well as we are to take advantage of that going forward. We've probably got at least a couple of years head start on everybody else out there. And they're going to have to go through the pain that we went through, just like we did. I mean, we're essentially moving out of that zone of painfulness, if you will. They just have to look out for us.
So what... if you could define digital in the old days as very, sort of a very engineering-oriented company, it was a great operating system, sort of a whole range of products that fit it, really a loyal base of customers. What's the new model? In other words, what is the company now? Why is it different from anybody else in the industry? Why is it going to be better than HP or IBM or whatever? What's the sort of point of distinction that makes you, it's going to keep this $13 billion company ticking along and growing?
I think if you look at the past, in the days of the proprietary systems that ourselves and IBM and HP had, it was sort of a monolithic company. It was high margins, high gross margins. And we built an organization that was very customer focused in the sense of taking care of our customer no matter what. Good technology, and it was a business model. And then as that business model started to be affected by the changes in technology, we didn't respond to it as quickly as we needed to at the time. And that the real impact of that was the cost structure of the model we had in place. It was a direct selling model. It was a model that was very effective with 50 or 60% gross margins, but couldn't survive with 30% plus gross margins, which is the era that we are in today. I think we have gone through more of the change that's required and is going to be required than any other major computer company out there. I think we waited longer than we should have, but when we finally addressed the problem, I think we dealt with them in a very clean, concise way. And as a result, are better positioned now going forward than some of the other people who haven't. And part of that is just, the financial difficulties that we're in force you to deal with the problems that are on the table. It's a personal view, but I think that the resurgence, and I think a temporary resurgence of the mainframe has really compromised IBM's thrust to become the kind of company they have to become. Sort of, if we were going to be hiking the mountains, it's the false summit syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're okay, and all of a sudden you find out you've got a long way to go yet. I think we have had to deal with that in a way that other people haven't. We never had the large mainframe annuity stream that IBM has, for instance. And so we have had to deal with the market as it's really becoming early on in this process. And I think, therefore, are better mapped to the market changes that are happening than anybody else out there.
Because What is it that makes you a better map?
Because we didn't have that annuity stream that was out there, each part of the company has had to develop a business model and a market model and a product strategy that can be competitive and successful out there. So if you take PC, we've got that set up almost as an independent company. You have to have that kind of focus and agility and speed of reaction and to be able to be successful in the PC business. So I think we're making big progress there. Storage works. We took a whole different architectural approach. It's modular, and we have, in a sense, a building block strategy that allows us to get into markets off the platform very quickly, which we've done in terms of replicating it. So we've opened up a market opportunity for storage that goes beyond the 6 or 7% share that digital would have to the other 90% that's out there. And so we were able to take a basic technology and product investment and leverage it at little incremental cost into a whole new market opportunity and a whole new channel opportunity. If you look at basic skills we had in networking and the ability to put a business model together and then craft this Envision strategy, which has been embraced by an awful lot of people in a very short period of time, because they can see that we understand networking, we've got this plan that goes out in time, it recognizes the convergence of the technology into the switch. It's got a lot of very elegant software, which a lot of the other networking companies don't have. They've been hardware kinds of companies. And so we can bring that to the marketplace, and we're doing it all in the context of a P&L focus in each business unit. So you have to make hard choices driven by the realities of the marketplace. So we're leveraging our historical technical strengths with a whole new appreciation of the customer and the market that was never perhaps as evident as it is today. And each of them is sort of on its own. I mean, I either make the storage business successful or it goes away. I'm not going to get any subsidies from Enrico's PC business or the SBU or John Randa's service business. I have to come forward with a plan that says, here's how we're going to be successful, here's how we're going to grow the business, and here's the kind of profit we're going to deliver to the corporation. And if I don't, I'm not going to get the investment money, and the question will be put on the table at some point, they shouldn't even be in this business. You know, they might find a new Charlie Crist as an interim staff. But eventually, that question gets on the table.
Right. So, in other words, because you've sort of embraced the realities of the new market, or the coming market,
and responded in terms of our business structures and our business models and how do you take the products to market, recognizing we used to be almost 100% direct sales, a little bit of indirect, and now we've publicly said my division is to move 80% of the volume through the indirect partner, through the channels, through partners, and 20% through the digital direct sales force. When we get to that's where I'm trying to get to. So we made major commitments in terms of how we get our products to the market and the changes that we put in place and the relationships that we're building with these partners as we go forward. Mm-hmm. That is a dramatic change in the digital
business. I mean, you're moving significantly away from what made the company successful to begin with. So what's the, you know, in other words, what's your competitive edge here if you no longer have the sort of hand-holding customer relationship that you had before and you no longer have the operating system to sort of tie it together, you know, as a sort of customer? What is the...
The customers are no longer bound to us.
So why are people going to be buying digital?
I think for a couple of reasons. One, we still do bring products with an edge to the market. We are a very good engineering company. We are developing relationships with the partners, and in fact, they are the people who will have the relationships, and we will work through them and with them, and we understand the role that they play and how important it is to us. There's a whole new awareness of the role of marketing in a company like digital. I think people are starting to recognize us for that. We still have an awful lot of people out there who believe in us. And what we're having to do is change the way we get to them and bring product to them and bring service to them. But they're still there. They still want us to be successful. They want to see us in the market. They like us. They like what we do well. And I think the biggest thing we've done is recognize the realities of the world as it is and as it's changing. And we've then changed the company to be able to compete successfully out there without sacrificing a lot of the core values of digital in terms of our integrity and our honesty and our focus on the customers and doing whatever we can for them. And the historical technical excellence reputation that we had and still have. Mm-hmm. So we've gone through a real transformation because almost everything has changed and you still are seen in a very positive manner by our customers in the market. But we've recognized the changes and we've embraced them. And that's important. It's very important to our success. But it's, you know, the days of the past are over, and we have to compete. And I know I was talking with one of my engineering people, and Mike, you know, talked about a year ago, and it's like every product cycle, you have to come back out into a leadership position. And he said, you know, geez, do I have to win my wings every time? And I said, yeah. I said, think of it as pinball. If you win, you get to play again. That's kind of what this market has become.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a major mindset change on the part of the people in the company. That you're only, you know, as good as what you've done for me lately, today. And the customer's expectations are rising, we have to meet them. But that's the world as it is. And we're not going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, I think, get through the knothole of acceptance that that's the way the world now is. And you've got to be willing to do what it takes to be successful in that new environment. And I think we're farther along than a lot of people in getting there, frankly, in getting our people there and understanding them.
As I'm sure you're aware, there still seems to be some confusion in the marketplace as to what digital stands for, or where you're going, or what you know, what the strategy of the company is. Can you address some of that, or what?
Yeah, we're working, you know, very hard on that right now in terms of the senior management team. But I think, you know, what you'll see is this emerging focus on the idea that the network capability is going to be the core competence of the corporation, because we believe that's where the market is moving. This idea that the servers or the desktop clients or whatever are really appliances on a very complex and pervasive network. And so you'll see us into things like mobile computing and wireless and networks that are tiered from, let's say, the enterprise to the department to the work group to the individual. And you see us architecting our strategy and vision around that capability, buttressed by leadership products with an edge. I'm back to that kind of viewpoint that the network will be fundamental and connectivity is fundamental. And we will be very focused on where we believe we can bring products with an edge to the market. And if we can't, we won't play in that space. We'll buy from somebody else. And so you don't see the computer-centric view that maybe was in companies like this in the past. And it's more this issue of the networking and the connectivity.